listening to The Nasty Table,
the premier source for tabletop role-playing actual play. Now come on in, relax, and pull up a seat to The Nasty Table.
Yeah, let me see the wiener.
They want her, and I point out the window, and I point at the little girl.
He's behind the trash cans. His skin that you can see is, like, grayed. This is a virus, and it's spread through knowledge. I don't know if Lang is cut out for this. What's your place here now? You got fucking mob ties in this case? You come away with the impression that this was a completely natural promotion. Chicken jumps off of the third step.
Hey, man, listen, I trust you. I mean...
Oh, no. I don't trust myself.
No, I trust you.
No.
Damn, yeah, you recognize the background.
Yeah, there was ones with like wood paneling.
Yeah.
And carpet.
Dang. Oh,
that's crazy.
Foreign. Jesus.
I always heard that if it rains hard, it rains short. So if it's falling like that, it's not going to be going on for a long time. I don't care.
You like the ambiance?
I do. 'Twas a dark and stormy night when four men sat upon a table yonder. 'Twas the nasty table it were. Beyond this table they find themselves face to face with a malicious beast intent on tearing apart their very souls. Bit by bit it bites and eats until there is nothing left, and Roy, Ray, Caleb, and Jerry find themselves once again face to face, pit to pit, soul to soul with the very monster called man.
That was beautiful.
Another avenue, I guess. But it, every avenue that I can think of is so, like, it's just an open-ended fucking maybe, is that the kids know something from dreams.
That's a good point. Carter.
Carter knows something from dreams. But where do we, what do we head, do a dream analysis on him? To find the, fuck!
I mean, we could just knock on the door again and be like, hey, is your son alive?
You guys give me a recap of the last session?
Becker's going back to fucking... Alright, I'm cutting some corners here. Becker's going back to fucking Chicago, apparently. That's news. Not surprising, but... Right?
Yeah. And he said, Lang presented him with the only, like, convincing information that he's heard this whole time. And that's why he just came with Lang. But yeah, for now he's out.
I mean, you're in Bastion Becker's shoes and you're, you know, your friend knew all about this and this god is gonna kill everybody and by the way, he's in my head and all this is real and all this is happening and you're like, what are you fucking talking about? And then some guy knocks on the door and says, hey, those guys are crazy. They're gonna try and kill you. Oh, okay, all right. I'm on board now. Kind of tracks, you know.
It makes sense. And I'm kind of like a little nervous about Lang, but I'm just like, I believe that he's just going to go home and sleep.
Up to you motherfuckers, but also the only other thing. Sorry, we were back to metagaming. We could see if they left any evidence of Lucoda.
Oh yeah, we still gotta go there. What are we gonna do there?
I don't know. My best guess is, ooh, look at this file drawer. It has the address on it.
Yeah.
Do you think I'm that kind of writer?
No, I know, but.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, it's funny.
This is what I thought that
MacGuffin. It's called a MacGuffin.
Oh, he reminded me of this guy, Jim.
MacGuffin.
Oh, the dude from Thor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
MacGuffin sounds like a.
Yes, it's called
an alpha like insult name.
It's called MacGuffin. So like when the wizard is like, you must defeat the demon lord by getting the sword of the first hero from the Tower of Azerbaijan.
That
item, like when an item is plot relevant and like solves all the problems, MacGuffin.
The item is called a MacGuffin?
It's called a MacGuffin. That's like Chekhov's gun. You ever hear about that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like Chekhov's gun. It's a MacGuffin. No, I don't do MacGuffins.
I forgot where that point
That's
was.
That's where it came from.
No MacGuffins. That's what I learned.
Alrighty. So, with each member of the LFVCU in their various beds or bed trying to find sleep, sleep takes some of you easier than others. Regardless, we are going to start with Roy. Roy, would you like to make a communion?
Yes.
Would you like everyone to leave the table?
No.
Okay. Get back to that in a second. Nick, if you could please hand this note to Mike Finn. You can see it's labeled Finn. It's got a heart and a winky face on it. Give it to him. I've handed Mike Finn a note. Well, I've handed Nick a note. Nick has handed Finn a note with information on it, which he is reading.
Drum roll, please.
Ray, sleep does find you as well. And Jerry, quickly collapsing on the couch with your cane by its side. Roy. You lay in bed, mind racing, thinking about all the things in this case, and more importantly, yourself. The pain in your hand begins to creep its way back in. You find yourself in too much pain to sleep, and you look over to your bedstand.
No, not for Joe, for you.
For me?
Yeah.
You wrote him a note? Mm-hmm. Look over to your bedstand to see the vials and syringes sitting there. What does it say?
What does it say?
No, you say it. I'll cut it out. You say it. What did he hand you a note? What does it say?
I am very honored to announce that I have been nominated for...
You posted the note, buddy. I didn't want you to miss out.
Let's go.
Congratulations.
Dude, I really hope I fucking win, dude. I wonder who the fucking other contestants are.
Oh, Jesus Christ. It's all of us. We're all nominated.
Oh shit.
Roy, the pain in your hand, or I should say the limb which formerly contained your hand, is excruciating. Whatever bupivacaine was injected into you when you were at the hospital is wearing off.
Yeah, I'd like to take whatever the prescribed dosage
is. And even though Ms. Christensen was vague, the dosage is laid out very straightforward on the label. You're able to get yourself the correct dosage.
Cool. Just to clarify for the future, too, is this, like, RP-wise, I don't, like, should Roy be, like, looking at his watch and be like, oh, okay, it's noon, it's time to take this pill, or is it just
Label
like,
says as needed.
As needed, okay. Yeah, I'll take the bupivacaine then.
Walk me through it.
Taking it?
Yeah, what does it look like? You're probably in the pitch dark. Half asleep.
Yeah. Like, I imagine, like, fucking Roy shirt off, just on the floor, just sink into the bed. And he's got this pill bottle. And he's got one hand. And, he, like, puts the pill bottle between his knees, clamps it with his knees. You know, it's fucking loosens the childproof container, like struggles a little bit, finally pops it off, flicks the container onto the nightstand and pulls out whatever, one pill, right? Takes the pill and no water, just like hard gulp.
Mm-hmm.
And then caps it back up, puts the whole bottle on the nightstand.
Mm-hmm. You kind of finish that and you sit on the edge of the bed for maybe a second before you lay back down and you hear a knock at your bedroom door.
Yeah, come and pick my fucking shirt back up, hands in pockets. Come in.
Mm-hmm. You look over as the door opens and just like that, it's daytime. And Weiss Clay opens the door. Quite the day, my friend.
Thought you were my niece.
Sorry to interrupt. Tea and cigars downstairs.
Shall we?
We shall. And he turns around. Follow. Makes his way downstairs.
Follow him down.
To a familiar kitchen table. He pulls out the seat. Sits down. Cups in front of you. He begins sipping.
Alright. Before you say anything, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
You're sorry.
I don't know what happened.
What are you talking about?
The second that thing did whatever it did, I mean, I can tell now based off of your memories, but I don't know where I was.
It wasn't your fault.
And I do accept your apology. You don't get to speak for me, not like that. Becker's a good man, and he has reason to have his suspicions about you.
I believe you. I believe you. It's... Surely you can see that it's been frustrating.
It has been frustrating, and don't call me Shirley.
Chuckle. I grab one of the cigars off the table, light it.
So what do you think?
I'm running out of avenues, man.
I think there are plenty.
There's a few I can think of, some that might be more fruitful than others. But, pull my hand out. Starting to think of me showing up at that ranch and pulling triggers is not going to be as beneficial as it would have been yesterday.
I'd have thought of a saying we used to use in grad school. Professor would assign a 1,000-page paper. Even when I wrote my thesis, it was all hard work. Becker and I studied together then. I didn't know him until the Security Council, but he went to the same school as me. I didn't know that. So when I met him for the first time, he and I found that we shared the same saying in grad school. How do you eat an elephant? He smiles. One bite at a time. You shattered teeth tonight. There's a whole face left. Body. Arms, legs. RJ sat there and he said, I am her eyes. This man must have been the teeth. Right. Conglomeration. Perfect singular. One thing. One bit. One piece. You broke her jaw.
Right.
I see it as a house of cards. Maybe. But you do as you see fit.
Maybe we tackle Dan Winters's other number two.
It's dangerous.
It's very.
This one almost got you killed.
Right.
It's too late to go about this smart. You knew about this days ago. You could have gotten more enforcement agencies involved, could have gotten wiretaps, could have gotten warrants in motion. But where do you go from here?
We got a kid that we could bait, as much as I fucking hate to say it. Fuck, man. That just tells me that that there is more blood to spill.
Do you understand the ideology of Apsugos Enikos?
As much as I need to.
Do you think that that's true?
I think between the two of us, you understand it better than I do.
suppose. Was he a man? Doug.
He was a man. I strongly believe that. He was. What we saw tonight, I don't fucking know what that was. Before he even turned, I don't know what that was. His buddy, his other number two, neither of those guys are men.
And Dan?
I want to see his knife. That knife you keep talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. It's important, I suppose.
I think he killed you with that knife. And that's why you were floating around in your room after you died.
I wasn't floating around in my room. I was floating around in you. It's not random. I worry of you.
Me too.
The way that all this is shaken out, I think that I've understood one thing, and that's there are fates that exist that are worse than simply dying. Roy, I want you to consider killing yourself. You hear a knock behind you.
Turn.
Window. Pressed up against the glass. Breathing heavily. Doug Caliburn. Staring at you. And you wake up.
I imagine when I wake up to that same deal the first time that this happened, I fucking jump up out of bed, like sitting on my bed, cold sweat, like heavy breathing. What time is it?
Look at the clock. It is 6:00.
Just fucking like limp out of bed. How am I feeling? Pain wise?
Not horrible.
Okay. I'll take the pills with me, but not taking any.
Gotcha. We're going to jump over to Jerry. Falling asleep on the couch rather quickly. Sleep does take you, and the pain just, you can feel it. Oh, I'm sorry. Also, Roy, you gain 1 point of health back.
All right.
The pain is excruciating. If you lay in the wrong way, it makes it impossible to sleep. You have to wake up and take the patch off and put another patch on, and then you put two patches on. Fucking put your shirt down, and quickly, really, really quickly, your eyes close and you can feel yourself drift off into sleep before you're shaken awake. You look up to see beads of early sunlight kind of scattering in through the window. Your wife looking down at you. Hey. Hi.
How are you?
How are you?
How do I look?
Like you're not going to work today.
Can you make me some coffee, please?
She doesn't say anything but turns around. Starts walking towards the coffee machine.
How do I feel right now?
You're going to gain 1 health point back.
Only 1.
But you feel... I'm not going to say it. I've said it for weeks now. Horrible. You feel like you got hit by a car and you are barely standing up.
Okay.
Your shirt is still torn, and I imagine your jacket is as well. Your cane on the ground where you left it is now on the kitchen table. You did not move it. Your wife walks over to the coffee pot. Begins pouring cup.
I turn on the TV.
Turn on the TV?
Mm-hmm.
Morning talk show, something, 70s, I don't know. What the fuck do they, fucking cracker commercials? I don't know. Your wife comes over with a cup, gives it to you.
Thank you.
What is going on?
It's nothing.
It's not nothing anymore. It was nothing 2 days ago. It's not nothing anymore. What's going on?
You're overreacting.
I am not overreacting. You are asleep on the couch. There is a fucking cane that is now on our kitchen table.
You got in an accident.
I called your parents.
For what?
They're coming down to visit.
No. You get on that phone right now, and you don't tell them to come here.
No, you are taking the next few days off. We're all going to go out. I already had the day trip.
No. Stop. It's all under control.
Control.
We got in an accident in our van, in a chase. We are this close to being done this case. We got this. We got it.
We. You. Yes, they can. You don't have
to. No, they need me.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do. Do you realize what this could be? I could get promoted. I could get promoted
from
this.
You could get killed. Look at you. An accident. Your shirt is fucking torn.
Yeah. It was a rough one. We flipped, but... We're fine. We're fine. I'm fine.
Sit here. Don't move. You're not going to work today. I'm not kidding.
Yes, I am.
Jerry. It's not funny anymore. You come home and you just maybe take a shot and go to bed. You lay on the lazy boy. You lay on the couch. You wake up. You say two, three words to me.
I got a lot going on.
Then tell me. Talk to me.
No.
No?
No.
Why?
Because...
Because what? I won't understand because I'm not a fucking cop?
No.
Jerry?
No. You don't want to know what's going on. That's why. You don't
want to
know.
I want to know what is bothering my husband.
What's bothering me is that we don't have this completely wrapped up yet. Going to work. I sip my coffee.
Fine. 24 hours. And I'm not calling your parents. You call them and you tell them why they're not coming down.
Sip my coffee.
Continue sipping your coffee. Your wife storms off into the bedroom. What do you do?
What time is it?
6 o'clock, 6:30.
Okay, I go to my phone.
Go to the phone.
I dial. Well,
hey
yeah,
guys,
I
want to
I wanna dial the station.
Okay, call the station. Okay, we're gonna pick up with them though.
Okay.
Ray, you awake. Caleb, you...
I wasn't even able to try.
Nope.
Okay.
Make your way up, you turn up, and you can see Ray kind of steadying yourself. You can see Laura sitting up, and Sarge is just kind of like wagging around and being a dog, and Caleb is sitting up in the chair. I do want to ask, though, anything happen? Anything happened during that?
Was I able to reach his canister as a film? If I really reached for him?
No. Honestly, I would say the closest thing to me would be all the film.
Alright, that's fair. Then the only thing that I could reach was this case and just, or this file, and just made sure that I read it fully.
You feel like you did read it front to back to back to front? Any questions that come up regarding that or any references to it, you would be able to answer with the utmost confidence.
Okay.
Caleb is up and still kind of skimming through some records up there.
Morning, detective.
Yeah, anytime you're ready. Top drawer of my desk. And jiggle the cuff.
Yeah, I gotcha. Cup of coffee?
Yeah. That'd be nice.
Alright. I head out.
Mm-hmm. You place a phone call to the station. You hear it pick up. Click. Linwood Falls Police Department. How can I direct your call?
Hey, it's Detective Flores.
Hello.
Can somebody get Caleb on the phone?
Caleb. And he looks over his shoulder, and you can see Nate Merritt behind the phone, who looks over at you as you cross. Detective Hoyt, is Detective O'Connor's around anywhere?
Do I hear him say this?
Yeah.
Hoyt's fine, too. Hoyt's fine.
It's Detective Flores.
All right, thanks. Yo, Jerry, what's going on?
Hey, I'm a little tied up.
Caleb,
I want to come to work.
Jingles but. His lock while he's tied up.
I'm saying, can you come pick me up?
Yeah, it won't be right away, but I'll be there.
That's
don't
fine.
Worry.
That's fine.
Yeah. All right.
All right. Thanks.
See you, man. All right. I get the coffee first before I go back to unlock him. Then I go back in the conference room. I take a nice sip of coffee, drag the cig, take my time, and then I unlock.
You unlock him?
The handcuffs, yeah.
Unlock the handcuffs. Thanks.
I don't mind. So, what's your game plan for today?
Shit.
Any ideas?
I look to Laura. Is she in the room?
Yeah, she's playing with Sarge.
Give you a nod over.
Yeah, I know that. I mean,
you gonna?
You find anything in that file? You think of any more leads?
No, I mean, just further into Lang's. I want to call it delusion, but hey, I'll give the kid some credit. You know where you're gonna bring up the other guy? Ellen Davies got.
I'm gonna head over there. I gotta develop these photos, this final batch of photos too. I'm gonna see what Davey has to say, and then I'll figure out what we're gonna do with them. That's what I was thinking before I went to bed. We never called this number that we found in Doug's apartment on the answering machine. I mean, it sounds like some supervisor or something kind of took over for whoever was doing the first two calls and maybe swept things under the rug, but I don't know. Who knows what kind of information she saw and was inquiring about.
Yeah, could ask, I guess, about who he was filing for?
Yeah, I mean, it was joint ownership documents, so I mean, if we can somehow get her to disclose information, I'm sure there was a lot more than just name and address on that document. There had to have been, I don't know, what is the business, you know, the types of money that's moving through there. I don't know. It's worth a shot.
Yeah, I'll call if you got stuff to do.
Yeah, I gotta go, pick up Jerry. Sound like he's a little tied up, but he just told me to come pick him up, so. Yeah. Just make sure Laura stays in here, maybe get her whatever food she wants, she keep her comfortable for us.
Yeah, you,
as long as we can.
You taking the dog to Davies?
Yeah.
Alright.
Sarge immediately, like, looks like he's having fun and jumping and just fucking, like, straightens out his back, looks over to you, starts patting down, and then sits right at your feet.
Yeah. All right, well, I'm gonna be out. Let Roy know that where I'm at. I'm picking up Jerry, and she'll be back pretty soon.
Yeah.
Roy, you wake up maybe, like, 6 o'clock, 6:15. What are you doing?
Walk over to April's room, see if she's still in there.
She is. Okay. Looks like she's doing her makeup in the mirror.
Keep walking, walk downstairs, and I don't make food or anything. I walk outside, feed all the animals.
Mm-hmm.
Get,
and it looks like they have not been fed in quite some time.
Yeah, load them up. Load them the fuck up. Like, load them up for, like, today and tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all weekend. So, same deal. Give Caper a nice pat.
Mm-hmm.
How's his knee looking?
Yeah, so you're taking a look back at his ankle again. It looks like it's progressing pretty well.
Okay.
As best as it can. Looks like he's putting more weight on it than he used to. Looks like he's kind of moving a little bit more freely. Used to look like maybe when he put weight on it that he was taking, like, a pained step. But mm-hmm. at this point, it looks like he's on the road to recovery.
Cool.
He does, and you kind of catch it, and it's really weird. You feel like he's looking at your hand. Like he knows.
Yeah.
And he's just, like, completely still. His eyes just kind of locked on it.
Kind of give a frown and walk up to him, pat him again with my good hand. I'm like, it's all right, buddy. It's going to be all right. Open up the stable door so we can run in the fenced area, just
mm-hmm.
so we can just.
And he kind of takes a couple hesitant steps out, and he's slower than he was, obviously, but mm-hmm. starts taking a couple of slow laps around.
Yeah, just something to move his legs. Then, after situating that, then I walk back in, get breakfast going.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking.
April looks like she's grabbing her book bag and she's on her way out the door.
It's Friday?
Yep.
Okay. Hey, as she's like walking, I'm like, hey, good morning.
She stops, just kind of like looks at the ground. Good morning, Uncle Roy.
Hands in my pockets. Like, sorry, April, I know that's not like me. Words can't even. I know words won't do anything I'm saying justice.
It's okay. Thank you for everything. I know it's... it's a lot, and you don't have the easiest job in the world. I'm not stupid, you know? So... and then she turns around and, like, looks at you, and you can see, like, her eyes are a little watery.
I bring her in for a hug.
She quickly kind of steps forward and, like, accepts the hug.
Yeah.
And then, like, a second passes, and then she squeezes you, like, pretty tight, pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Just kind of, like, pulls herself into you.
Yeah. I don't say anything. I'm just hugging her. And, step back.
She kind of wipes her eyes with her sleeve. I gotta go. I'm gonna be late.
Alright. Alright. I'll see you after school.
She turns around and walks out the door.
Alright. I kinda... what, is the bus coming or something? How's she getting to school?
She walks at the bus stop.
Okay, I go get my car. I just, like, go fucking grab coffee. She made coffee this morning.
Did she?
Of course she did.
April drinks coffee?
Yeah, she's a fucking young coffee drinker.
Insane. Wow, okay.
She's a young coffee drinker.
I didn't have that in my notes. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, I said
it. We write the story now. Coffee drinker. Okay, gotcha.
I said it during our improv, if you recall.
Oh, I do remember. No, make sure that we had a large enough spot for our massive coffee bar, because April is a young coffee drinker.
Yeah.
Coffee's there.
Yeah, just grab, like, fill it up in, like, a fucking thermos, whatever. Get in my car, and, drive into the station.
It's easier to do it this time than on the way home. I haven't mentioned it, but you guys feel well-rested. And it feels nice for, like, this just split second of just being able to shake off everything that happened yesterday and just kind of start fresh again. And you do feel maybe... in need of a shower, but still well rested, making your way to the station. Ray, you leave the station heading where?
It's Jerry's.
Jerry's house. Jerry, you place that call, hang up the phone, and your wife is still in the bedroom, TV is still on, mm-hmm. coffee cup still in your hand.
I dial my parents.
Bring, bring. Flores residence.
Hey, it's Jerry.
Jerry, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. We're all packed. We're gonna start making our way up.
No. Listen. Why don't you guys come next weekend? This just isn't a good weekend. I'm really tied up right now. It's not the best time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Next weekend, 100%.
Sure.
We should be wrapped up.
Okay, yeah.
All right.
All right, sounds good.
Yeah, right, yeah, everything's going well here.
It's good?
Mm-hmm. How about there?
It's good. Good. Yeah, I mean, I'm still trying to find this fucking motor I've been looking for like 3 weeks now. I mean,
I know how that goes. I miss those days.
Detective down there, you should come up here and help me track this fucking thing down.
I mean, I'm not opposed to coming down there.
Please, you know.
Instead, if you guys want to do that, I'll do that next weekend. I'm sure I can get the leave.
No, the girls, you know, mom wants to go see. They got a museum up that way that she wants to take a look at. So.
All right. Well, let's make this next weekend.
All right.
Sound good?
Yeah. I'll let your mama know.
All right. Thank you.
All right. See you, son.
All right. See you.
Click.
I let out a big, and then I go find my wife in the bedroom.
My wife. Open up the door, and she's just kind of standing there making the bed, it looks like. She doesn't look as you open the door.
I kind of walk up, like, behind her and, like, hug her from behind, and... I'm sorry, I shouldn't talk to you like that. It's just, we have a lot going on right now, and, again... We're done this after this weekend. We only have 2 more days from this, so I told the old man to come next weekend instead, and I'll be all yours. I will take vacation a whole week just after this weekend, okay? I'm gonna be fine.
She doesn't turn around to face you, and she doesn't, you know, stop doing what she's doing, and your arms are kind of like hugging her as she's like still folding the sheets. It's fine. It's okay.
They just, the guys need me right now more than ever. It's,
you need to think about what you need. I get it. They need you, but baby, you're not the end all be all. There's a million of yous.
Mm-mm. No. No.
She turns around and looks at you.
They need me.
You need you.
I have me. They need me.
I need you.
I know you do. I told you a couple more days and, you know, I see the light, you know? I see it.
All right, killer. Yeah. Go chase it. Go chase it.
I promise.
Go.
Love you.
Go.
And I give her a kiss and I hobble out.
limp your way out the door. And Ray, you pull up and you can hear Ray's car pull up, truck outside. Look out the front door to see Ray with Sarge and probably shotgun.
Yeah. I just give him like a kind of look and then hobble up and get in the car.
Get in the car.
Oh, thank you. I am not feeling good today, let me tell you.
Well, you can have a nice 20-minute ride in the silence. Sarge is here. You can give him a pet if you need to.
What's up, Sarge? Give Sarge a little pet.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be back at the station in a little bit.
All right. Yeah, sounds good. Light a smoke.
Light a cigarette, making your way back to the station. Eventually, you get there. Roy, you're also making your way back to the station?
Yes.
Okay. Eventually, time passes. I imagine Jerry and Ray get there before Roy does. But the three of you find yourselves along with Sarge there. Caleb, you are sitting there for a decent amount of time. Doing what exactly?
Do I have a phone in this conference room?
Do you have a phone in this conference room? You do not.
Can I get one to put in this conference room?
Yeah, you can step outside and you make your way out to kind of reception, and you see in all the rush of getting in and getting out, Ray didn't clock it, but Sergeant Greg Atkins is still sitting there. He's just kind of looking through some documents, it looks like, sitting in the
reception. Does it look like he's looking at that file?
It looks like it, and you are, you know, well accustomed to it.
Yeah, I don't acknowledge him.
Sure. make your way and find yourself a phone, go down into the VCU, and you can see Longo's office door is open, but he's not in there. Grab a phone, take it out of the wall or whatever, and go upstairs and plug it in.
Yeah, back in the conference room.
Yep.
I dial 612-588-5700.
Bring, 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 bring. Counting clerks, this is Roman. How can I help you?
Hi, Roman. I'm looking for a Sarah.
Sarah. Unfortunately, Sarah no longer works with us.
Oh, okay. So I was actually working for a new client here. I'm sort of a receptionist, helper around here for Doug Caliburn.
Oh, yeah, I know Doug. Oh,
okay, cool. Thank you so much. So I was just checking up on his messages, going through some different things, and just making sure there's nothing else that we need at your office. No other paperwork we need to fill out. We're all okay.
Yeah, no, we're all signed off. Dan came over. Everything's all clear on that end. So, you know, everything should be going through. We just got to, like, officially file it. And then once that's all set in motion, then we'll get a copy for Mr. Caliburn.
Oh, awesome. Actually, going through his files now, it's... Actually, the reason I'm calling, he got somebody, just got a big promotion, so trying to get all his files in order, everything together, would I be able to get just a copy of it over the phone? I'm actually trained in shorthand.
Copy of the documents? I mean, they're not ready just yet.
Just a shorthand that I can go over, because just to get his files together, just that I can write it down so we have everything kind of in place.
Yeah, like I said, I mean, the files haven't been finalized yet.
Yeah. Just the rough copy of what you have now, though. Would you be able to tell me that over the phone?
A decent amount. I mean, we're talking about, you know, this is a 60, 70-page document here.
Oh, yeah, that's fine. Just first couple pages, at least, just so I can get the gist of it. Like I said, shorthand, so just read away, and I can write.
Look, I am kind of busy for a little bit here. It's only going to take a couple days for it to get to Doug anyway.
Yeah, not just the first page. You guys don't have a recapitulation page?
I suppose. Yeah, give me a second. And you can hear, like, the phone kind of get put down. And then a little bit later, you hear it, like, jingle and pick up. So this document hereby states that the property aforementioned shall fall under the ownership of Douglas Caliburn, Roger Ackroll, Daniel Winters. And then there's just some more details here regarding the exact transfer and the percentage share here. Looks like it's a straight 33% split all the way down the middle, one-third each. A lot of it is just the specifics regarding that. You know, Dan already knows all about this, so...
Yeah, it's not for Dan, just for Douglas's files. And do you have any details on the exact, the items being split? Just so I can, just for our assessing purposes.
You work for Mr. Caliburn?
Yeah, just got this position recently.
All right, so you work in the station?
Yes.
All right.
Coming up the ranks, trying to.
Okay, tell you what, look, I mean, like I said, I'm tied up here. You want to get the specifics, you can just... ask Dan about it. He got the foreword on this, so he's all caught up to speed on it.
I'm actually not in today, going through actually Doug's home here, beautiful place. But just going through. You can give me just those details right now.
Sorry, what was your name?
Don.
Don.
Henley.
Don Henley. And I'm sorry, personal assistant for.
Yes. Yeah, right now.
Douglas.
Not an officer yet, but hoping to be one day.
All right. Look, tell you what, I honestly don't feel really comfortable kind of giving you this information over the phone.
You said it already. Be so much easier. You got a ton on your plate. That would be the last thing I need. You just wrote
so
me down
I'm
gonna a quick
list of... So
I'm going
to give this information to my secretary if you want to pick up the shorthand of it before it's even finalized, which, I mean, honestly, the only reason I'm even entertaining this call is because of Dan. So, I really shouldn't be giving you this information legally, over the phone or anywise. Just come and pick it up if you want, or wait until the document's finalized.
Okay, and your secretary's name that you'll be leaving it with?
This is Judy.
Okay, thank you so much. Hey, and I didn't mean to be trouble, didn't mean to bother you, get in your hair.
No, it's fine. Listen, kid, just, you're starting out like this, just, you know, be careful. Don't go sticking your nose around like that, okay?
Thanks for the advice.
Click.
That was a bad fake name. The Eagles are real popular. In 1970.
I know what you should have said. Randy Leahy. Obviously.
Oh, by the way.
Obviously.
You know Airplane didn't come out till 1980.
Weiss just said it.
Nice genius.
He came up with it. He was one of the original writers.
They stole that joke from Weiss.
What's your Victor Vector? That was his next one. So you hang up the phone and eventually the three of you all make your way to the station alongside Caleb. You guys walk in to the front. You see Nate Merritt behind the reception desk there. Greg Atkins over to your right, sitting in a chair.
Morning, gentlemen.
Sergeant.
Just give a nod.
How'd we sleep last night?
Good.
As good as I can.
Yeah, same here. Atkins.
He looks up.
How you holding up?
My back hurts, but yeah, I'm all right. I'm good.
All right. Yeah. Walk downstairs.
Nobody's down there. Longo is not in his office, but his office door is open. Caleb, you can probably see them walk in from like across the offices there. Yeah, you guys are heading downstairs. Laura's still laying in her dog bed, pointing and counting out the ceiling tiles. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I give her a nod. She's doing good. I stay with Laura for now. Okay.
She's doing good.
So, would you say that his secretary's name was?
Judy.
I'm gonna walk back into the conference room when I get back. You making some calls, Caleb?
Yeah. I called that number. Guy was I said Dan was working with him. He knew Dan personally.
The guy
at the end, Sarah. Woman called him twice. She's gone.
She's gone.
Yeah. Assuming fired. But this guy, yeah, I guess friends with Dan. So some 33% split of this joint ownership. I don't know what. I tried to get what it was on the phone. Guy was giving me shit.
33% with Dan.
And Roger Ackroyd. That was the other guy, right? That was the left-hand man.
Okay, so the... Okay.
What they're splitting? County assessors? No, no way.
It's got to be the cabin, right? It's property.
His receptionist has it.
Yeah.
Judy, fuck. She has the paper.
How far is this place from here?
I'm assuming the county assessor of Minneapolis, right? Can I pull up a phone book from Minneapolis?
Yes.
Look up county assessor office there.
The phone number matches.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, this guy knows Dan. I mean, I tried my best, but I was being shady somewhat. When he gets the second, I'm sure that this guy's not Dan's first priority, but damn.
Yeah.
He's going to tell him soon, and that file's going to get pulled from her desk, or somebody's going to be watching the guy that walks in there to grab it.
Yeah, I think a Minneapolis trip is a good idea today.
What are we doing with the girl?
Put her up for adoption.
All right, well, we got to do this all quick.
I'll do it right now. It's a couple phone calls.
Yeah, he's going to talk to Winter. If that's what that is.
Yeah.
Is this it?
Could be.
It's something.
Let's load up. Let's load the fuck up as if we're not coming back here. Just assume worst case, right? Assume worst case we can't come back here. Just load the fuck up. I talked with Weiss last night, and He made some good points, Matt. Once we killed that monster that Doug turned into, teeth shattered from that statue in the mouth, if you guys remember. There's a blindfold over that statue's face. RJ claimed to be the eyes. So, they're covering the eyes of that statue. I don't fucking know what that means. And of course, Roger Ackroll, and of course, Dan Winters are certainly key players. If we could weaken and I'm jumping ahead here. You know, we killed Doug, we shattered the teeth, we broke the jaw. RJ claims to be the eyes. I'm sure Roger is something. Maybe the fucking ass. I don't know.
Crazy.
But if we can...
Everybody roll sanity.
I just think of once we kill a monster, just an ass.
34 on a 43.
57 on a 39.
79 on a 34.
Me too.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Fuck, you think you're not everybody?
I don't know if because it was a dream. I don't know if...
No, I said everybody.
All right. 38 on a 32.
Who passed? Ray?
Yeah.
Jerry, did you pass or fail?
Fail.
Fail. Fail, Caleb. Fail, Roy. You guys, nothing. Ray, you pass. You crack a smile at the thought of an ass monster. And just this moment where... all this really, really scary shit just kind of gets cut through. You're going to regain one sanity point.
Oh, shit.
Beautiful.
Let's go.
Ass monster.
When you guys all break
up. He was a dick monster.
You guys, I got my dog in the room.
All look over at Ray smiling.
He's like,
ass monster.
Ass monster.
It feels so out of context, too, the smile. It's like, all right.
Yeah. He's still thinking about putting that girl up for adoption. That's what we think.
I mean, the more we weaken this thing and, you know, tear it apart, I'm sure that could only help us, right? I don't know, maybe while we're up there, we could fucking tail Roger back to his house instead of playing the whole bait game and have, same deal with Doug, have Roger bring, like, six fucking officers and play that whole game. You just follow him back to his house and kill him in his sleep. I'm just throwing it out there. I'll go call the adoption agency.
Crazy. I don't think it's a bad idea, Sergeant, but, well, we almost had two fatalities when we tried that the first time.
I agree. I think maybe we put a lot of... we made a lot of redundant steps, in a sense, and now we know what we're dealing with, and... we're not going to poke our heads through a window necessarily just to... I think we have a better idea what we're getting into. I'm not saying we do it. I'm saying that if the situation presents itself, we might as well take advantage of it. Pick the phone up. Open the phone book. Linwood Falls. Fucking...
Child Protective Services?
Yeah.
Easy enough to find that. Dial the number. For the sake of brevity... what do you say?
Hey, I have a girl here. Her name is Laura Gossman. She is... how old is she? 5 years old. I don't fucking care. I'm saying five. She's 5 years old. Lost her mother at the hospital yesterday. Giving birth. Tragedy. She has no other guardians. Figured this was the best place to call.
Okay. And... again, for the sake of brevity, they say, okay, we'll send out an agent, you know, within the next 24 to 48 hours. When's the best time? Where's the best place?
You can come anytime you like. We're at the Linwood Falls Police Department.
And they say, okay, got it. We'll send somebody over 24 to 48 hours.
All right. Hang it up.
We're not trusting... anyone that comes from CPS at all.
Absolutely not.
From the moment someone steps foot in here, we need to have surveillance on Laura. I mean, we're gonna give her up, I guess, right? But
she still needs to be surveyed at all times, I think, even after we hand her over.
Well, we want to drive up to Minneapolis, and we want to survey Lara, so...
Doesn't have to be us that surveys Lara. We got... I mean, I trust Gaines. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah, I'm good with whoever. Just, it's, could end up being a tall task.
Struggling to think of anything else to do with her.
Yeah, I mean, we might have to have more than one guy, you know, on her. We might have to have some shifts going for the next, maybe like 48 hours at least.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, yeah, we can sort that out.
Mulling over the options regarding A1 Lara Gossman, the LFVCU find themselves at the beginning of a new day. Friday. Feds taking over on Monday. Your windows are closing, your doors are getting locked, and the walls feel a little bit tighter. But that's where we're going to pick up next session.
Thanks for listening to this episode of LFVCU, a Nasty Table production.